Welcome to Me Time, the podcast for women in midlife who've been taking care of everyone else and now say, it's my turn to take care of me. I'm Kim Aceto, health and self-care coach for women in midlife and your host. Thank you for spending your precious me time with me right now. Enjoy the show. Okay, so today we are joined with Camille Ritchie. And Camille Ritchie is a Vancouver mother passionate about educating women and seniors on the many solutions cannabis can offer. As a private canna therapist, she helps the cannabis curious navigate a new experience and find the highest quality products best for their needs. As a cannabis consultant, Camille offers product development and marketing support with research, focus groups, and referrals to local experts. Trained at Kwantlen Polytechnic University and CannaReps, she offers a professional and responsible approach to cannabis as a part of a healthy lifestyle. Camille, it's so great to have you on the Me Time Midlife Podcast. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you for having me, Kim.
Yeah. So I first saw you at, I met you online, and then we both attended a conference together, which you were on a panel speaking about, and we're going to get into all of that. But the first question I always ask every guest before we get into our topic is, what do you enjoy doing during your me time?
Well, I have the luxury of split custody of my children, so I actually get 50% of my time to myself. So when I'm not working, I don't have to really schedule in formal me time because I can take it when I need it when I don't have my kids. But what I do at that time, I tend to jump on the sunshine when it comes out because I need sun for mental health. And in Vancouver, it's a bit limited and hard to catch. So I have to schedule time in my schedule where I can take off if the sun comes out.
Definitely. Yeah,
it's nice. It's really vital to my health, and you know, I have a light machine, but it's just not quite the same as getting out there in the sun. It's so restorative, and it can just re-energize me for a couple more days until the sun comes back, hopefully.
Right.
And then I tend to incorporate that with some girl talk, whether it's on the phone or walking with a girlfriend, but I find that's the other thing that's really vital to me, having reality checks and staying out of my head. So I'll reach out to a girlfriend or someone that I can trust to kind of unload my stuff on, and they're not going to try and fix it for me. And then we do that for each other. We don't try to solve each other's problems. We just listen and relate and validate each other's point of view and try and challenge some of our thinking with kind ways of looking at it differently. So that's super important to me as well, that I connect with other women. I feel like, okay, I'm on track. Everything's good. I don't need to worry. We're all going through this. It just gets me in check.
Yeah. Okay. So let's talk about being a cannabis consultant. So what do you do as a cannabis consultant, Camille?
Well, I do three main things. First of all, I hold monthly gatherings for women to learn about cannabis in this informal talking circle for an organization called Elementa. It's now in 40 cities and growing quickly across the US and Canada because there's a huge demand for education. And women really love to talk with each other about their interests and experiences. You know, you go to the doctor and you're trying to treat something, you'll talk to your friends about that. You're like, I can't deal with this eczema. I tried this and this and this. And that's just what we talk about, right? Like it goes back to being the gatherers. You know, we take care of our family, our kids, our parents. This is a big part of our lives, making these decisions about how to handle our health. So we like these gatherings where we all come together. And you know, there's a lack of community nowadays where you need things to do that don't involve maybe alcohol. You know, it's like, I want to get together with the girls. What are we going to do? Oh, I guess go get a drink of wine. You know, like maybe they can't afford 5 hours or a weekend on the mountain. So they're going to go to this 2-hour meeting and connect with like-minded women and walk away with some new knowledge, maybe exposure to some new products or an interest in trying something different. I also work full-time privately to consult with women and seniors. I help them explore cannabis products for therapeutic purposes. With the cannabis regulation, the way it's unfolded in Canada, it's left a gap where many people are using the recreational system for medical applications. So in the new regulated market, the retailers aren't allowed to recommend products or discuss medical applications. The government has set it up so it's a recreational system, like the liquor store. Even though it's a medicine and alcohol is not a medicine, that's how they're treating it. So it's kind of left this unsafe gap where people don't know how to go about using cannabis because their doctors maybe have no idea, or they're scared to ask their doctor, or their doctor says, oh, that's bad. You shouldn't do that. I can't support that. It just creates this like fear and stigma that continues from prohibition and people not really jumping on board to what we're trying to do here with legalization and changing the stigma around cannabis. It is not nuclear waste. It doesn't need to be packaged like cigarettes. It's a completely different thing. So what I've done is started meeting with people to understand what their needs are and how I can help them without providing medical advice. So I'm not a medical professional. I don't pretend to be. I don't give advice or make any claims. But I can point you to medical research and anecdotal evidence that's been gathered by years of helping patients at illicit medical dispensaries for basic conditions that have responded well to cannabis therapy. I don't prescribe and I don't provide cannabis, but I share success stories with you and point out all your options. So many people just don't know what's legal. They think, oh, cannabis is legal now, I can get it everywhere. And that's just not the case. Even the stores that we had open in Vancouver for the last couple of years, a lot of the products they have in the store will not be on the new retail shelves. They just don't know that. They don't know that topicals aren't legal yet or edibles, and that there's a little bit more work to be done for regulation this fall. Vaporizers will be regulated and edible products will be dosed in a safe level. And what else? The topicals. A lot of people are just making their own topicals right now, but I'll help people find them if they need them. So a lot of people are just afraid. They don't know where to turn. They need someone to kind of hold their hand and help them avoid any negative experiences. I mean, the worst experience you're going to have is a bad trip. No, you're not going to die. But I mean, there are drugs that you might be taking that would interact. So we want to go over that and make sure that you've covered everything off. You can still tell your doctor that you're working with someone, maybe get their permission or their blessing, but I am not here to play doctor. I'm going to point you to what people are doing, books that you can trust, doctors that are leading the way. I'm not here about getting people high. I just want to help you investigate if cannabis is right for you. So any way I can help people move away from pharmaceuticals, alcohol, cigarettes, and suffering of any kind brings me joy. And when it comes to things like cancer and serious complicated diseases, I can't help you, honestly. I will refer to you to doctors that I know in the community that can help you. And I will help you get the products that they recommend if you don't know where to go. But obviously, I do not play doctor. There's one more thing that I do as a consultant, and it's more on the other side of the industry, and that's helping create the products that women and seniors want. So in product development, I'm trying to help create the vaporizers and topicals that I know people want in the way that they want them dispensed. So, you know, what additives they want. There's going to be a lot of laws about what you can add to topicals. So for now, I tend to work with products that are just like pure THC on the skin. You don't get into anything too complicated being added to it, but the pain relief is undeniable. So I like working with companies that are trying to attract women to their product. There are actually several licensed producers in Canada that have been designed completely around women. So as they start marketing to the crowd and women are getting more educated, they're going to be really savvy and they're going to know what ingredients they're avoiding. They're going to know how small and convenient they can get a product. They're going to be savvy and ready to go. So the marketers need to talk to me and women like me so that they're not just pinkifying products. You know, it's like, oh, the lady is like this. We don't want 10 white men in suits telling us what we should buy, right? We're going to tell them how we want it, how it has to be safe, and what we want for our families. We're going to drive this conversation. We're going to change the stigma around it because we're compassionate and caring and we're taking care of everyone. So this is what's going to change things. I'm very, I feel really confident in this. I have a lot of people following me, a lot of people asking me questions every day. So I'm trying to take it up on a larger scale and be able to help more women than in larger crowds and introduce them to books that we can all start following and just grow the tribe, let's say. Mm-hmm.
Right. So cannabis is legal in Canada.
Yes.
Okay. But in the US, it is not federally legal. It's legal in some states, mm-hmm. but it is possibly moving toward complete legalization. Okay.
Yes. Plus now, in the US, they've legalized CBD, which is a bit different from Canada. It's still handled the same way in Canada as THC.
Okay. So for a woman listening who is completely new to cannabis, let's talk about the kind of woman or senior who would come to you for help. What kind of help is she looking for? And why is she coming to you for that?
Well, mostly I see seniors and women for arthritis and pain, and particularly women for anxiety and insomnia. So those are the top ones, pain, anxiety, insomnia for most people. And CBD is a great starting point for that because you don't actually need to get high for some of this. You might need THC for some pain relief, but you can actually get quite a bit of success just starting out with CBD because your body has an endocannabinoid system in it and you're feeding it with that. Same as if you were taking hemp seed oil or something, there's CBD in that and it's actually working like a vitamin in your system the same way that cannabis would, in a similar way. There's so many cannabinoids in the flower. CBD and THC are just two of them. The THC can get you high. That's why a lot of people like it. But a lot of people have had a terrible experience with cannabis, right? How many people do you know that had a bad trip or they threw up or they just had it at the wrong time? You know, maybe they took too much or there was a really high THC indica strain that they tried, or most people tried it after they were drinking because, you know, you're out with your friends, you're all loosened up. You're like, oh, look, they're all smoking a joint. I want some of that. But you've already had three drinks. And now you're going to start throwing up. The room's going to be spinning. Now is not the time to try a joint. And most people have learned the hard way that doesn't work, but they think it's the cannabis. So they've written the story and that's the way it is. But it's just because of prohibition and the way a lot of people started growing really high THC strains. They were breeding them that way. And we don't have a market full of a variety of options. So you don't even know what you're getting from the guy around the corner, right? Mm-hmm. Most of those dealers, they just sell the high THC stuff that people want to get high with. Like they think of the 18-year-old boy as their ideal customer.
Right.
And that is not what this market is about. And even, you know, last weekend I was at the Lyft conference watching what all the licensed producers are unfolding on the market and their brands for all these demographics. And I find most of them just really aren't getting it when it comes to seniors and women and what we want, because they're not the ones designing the companies or the marketing.
That's not their market, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So there's THC, and that's the part of cannabis that gets you high, right? Mm-hmm. And then there's also CBD. Mm-hmm. Right. And that doesn't get you high. So, and you said CBD is the right starting point for people who have, like you said, arthritis, anxiety.
Or if you're scared, if you're really scared.
Right. That's an ideal place to start.
Yeah. And then you could approach it more as a vitamin. It's like, if you're missing a vitamin in your body for decades, you're probably going to encounter problems, right? So that's the research that's going to unfold. What has endocannabinoid deficiency created? But while we wait for that, there's no harm in taking CBD. There are interactions with some drugs that can stop some drugs from working. That's why you need to sit down and make sure you're informed before you just start taking it. And you got to look at your source. There's companies out there that are trying to make a lot of money off CBD, and they're using cheap forms of it that you're just not going to get the same results out of. And they're not legal. They'll actually go around saying, like, I think they're called Hempworks, things like that. They're not even legal, but they claim that they are. So you've got to be careful. And everyone's going to try and make money in this industry. CBD is going to be so huge, if you look down at the States, that you're going to have to get knowledgeable so you don't waste your money. Mm-hmm. And that concerns me a lot. So the most of the people that come to me for help, they're not waiting around for a doctor or the government to take care of their health. They're controlling their destiny by taking responsibility for their wellness now, getting informed and kind of preserving what they have instead of waiting for a rescue cure. You know, I can sit and talk to someone about cannabis and we don't use anything. They don't start using it. It's just a conversation around it. Maybe it's about their kids. What the hell do I tell my kids about cannabis now that it's legal? What is the school telling them? How do I justify grandma smoking it when the school says that's bad? So there's all these issues coming up that everybody wants to talk about. Mm-hmm. And it does matter to everyone, whether you use it or not. It's an issue. You're worried someone on the road is high. You're worried that your doctor isn't getting on board with things you've seen clearly work for people. These are all the modern issues that I like to talk about. And honestly, it's fun and rewarding. When I show someone that a topical can relieve their pain and they put it on their knee and they've had this sore knee for like 80 years, they're 80 years old. They're like, nothing will touch this. And they try a topical and it's gone. Like I shouldn't even know that reward. I'm not a doctor. Why would I have the miracle cure for someone? It doesn't make sense. So it's like, I'm just uncovering the truth of what's been used all along and what's hidden in the last 100 years. That's all I'm doing. I didn't invent it. I'm not prescribing things. I'm just showing people the magic of a plant and how people have been using it.
Okay, Camille. So let's talk about doctors, because you brought up doctors a few times. So we tend to think that doctors have all the answers to our medical issues and problems, right? But you educate people on the fact that doctors don't know much about cannabis, right? So what do doctors know or not know?
Well, not all doctors are the same. I could say what my doctor has said when I approach him, or most of my customers, the doctor will say, I don't know anything about that. I wouldn't recommend you getting involved in that, or I just can't help you. I don't think that you should be my patient if you're going to go down that road. I actually hear this quite a bit. My own doctor doesn't respect it. He doesn't know what I do, but he's starting to open up slowly, slowly, slowly. So I don't want to get into how much doctors don't know, but I actually do know some doctors and nurses that are trying to incorporate this in their practice. Some of them do write prescriptions for legal medical cannabis. There's a number of those you can find online, but they don't tend to be our GPs, right? I have a really great doctor I've had for years. I don't want to lose him, but I see a naturopath for other things sometimes because I want that holistic approach. And my doctor isn't going to offer that to me. That's not how the system is set up. So my doctor doesn't take a holistic approach to my health. He doesn't ask me about how much alcohol I drink, how much exercise I get, what my diet looks like. It's just the prescription pad comes out and the whole human approach is kind of missing, right? So when doctors are being educated by schools controlled by pharmaceuticals and doctors aren't even talking about the endocannabinoid system, it makes me wonder just how invested the medical system is in keeping me sick. You know, I'm not saying there's a big conspiracy. I'm just saying there's not enough motivation for them to look into it. Mm. I actually have clients that are doctors or nurses who will anonymously consult me to ask what their patients are using cannabis for and what the side effects are and what to watch out for, because they cannot ask within the medical system. They're not allowed. So some of them are coming to me like, I can't ask you this publicly. I just want to know. I'm taking responsibility for my clients. I just want to know what they might be doing and what the interaction might be. I mean, that's sad that they have to do that, but that's the gap that the government's created. And if I can help with that in any way, I do. Those doctors recommend people come to my groups. You know, they're not going to tell a patient to go see me as a private consultant, but they might send their patient to an Elementa group where they can meet other women that are exploring cannabis. That way they're not advising or recommending it. They're just saying, you know, a lot of women might be looking into cannabis for this condition. You might want to look into that. That's about as far as some of them are going
to
go.
Okay. So that's as far as they're allowed to go also. Yeah. Okay.
And some people don't want to ask their doctor. They don't want to go through the medical system. They don't want to put their name online on a database with anything related to cannabis because they're scared they won't be able to get over the border.
Right.
Or that, you know, their medical plan will find out. It's just fear. It's just a lot of fears. That's what I do, is really break down fears all day long. It's an interesting time as everything shifts, and we can look at the U.S., but it's not like they're getting it perfect either. So this is just an interesting time where everything's unfolding and not everyone's needs are being met, but also no one's really getting hurt either, right? Like, since legalization day, there hasn't been reefer madness. You know, it's not chaos in the streets. Everybody's okay.
Yeah, I haven't noticed any big changes. I mean, I'll smell it, right, when I'm walking down the street or people at the beach and stuff like that. But I mean, it's not like everyone's, you know, walking around high. And I mean, at least I can't tell.
Yeah, you can't tell.
Yeah,
and the right. Have been before. We were smoking right. Pot in Vancouver all alone. And that's probably why you don't see a lot of enforcement here. It's just because it's accepted culturally. So there's a lot more enforcement maybe back east, but
yeah,
it's just, it's a very strange time.
Okay, so last question here. Now, cannabis, first of all, I mean, you mentioned so many things that we could go in all kinds of directions with, but this is just for like the person who is listening and wants to start using cannabis, but doesn't quite know where to start. Where's a safe place to start using cannabis? Like, what would you recommend?
If people are worried about safety or having a bad experience, I tend to just start with a CBD. First of all, we establish that you actually want to go ahead and explore this. You know, look at your other options and take a holistic approach. Maybe it's something else that's causing your insomnia. Like, you're not getting enough activity. I'm going to ask you a lot of questions, like what you do to expend energy, how much caffeine you're intaking. Are you drinking alcohol? Because that'll wake you up in the night. Like, insomnia can be a number of things. And I don't want to just slap cannabis on as the solution to everything.
Yeah. Let me just say that that's great, because I think that sometimes when you go to the doctor, you're going to get kind of the opposite, you know,
yeah.
Like, I found a doctor or two of mine in the past who never asked me, what do you eat on a regular basis? You know, they might ask you how many times a week you exercise, but they don't ask you, or they didn't ask me at least, you know, how much sleep are you getting? You know, what is your stress level like? What types of foods do you eat? You know, those types of things. So you ask those questions first, right? Instead of prescribing right away, you're asking them about their lifestyle first.
Absolutely.
Right. That's great.
I'm definitely not about avoiding your problems or looking for the easy way out. It's more like, let's look at the whole picture. A lot of people are just so unsatisfied with their lives. It's causing this discomfort that they can't put their finger on. And often that means getting out, making new friends, connecting, and taking an interest in something. That is probably the biggest thing causing anxiety and unhappiness, is just this lack of connection and the habit of going to the wine or spending all your time with your friends in a bar, right? These are just habits that need tweaking. And when you have a couple of teenage girls like me, you're much more aware of what you're modeling. So I don't want my kids to sit in the bar all weekend and get drunk and like live for the weekend because they hate their job. It's all about leading with example. I can't say to my kids, oh, when you grow up, I want you to smoke pot and not drink. But there I'm leading by example, saying you own your health, you take care of yourself, and you choose the best option that you can for your health, not what everyone else is doing, not what will earn you brownie points at school or make you popular or what everybody else is doing. I mean, I used to smoke cigarettes and drink and drink and drink, and it just got so unfulfilling because I was willing to look at it. And if you're not, then you're just going to kind of keep perpetuating the problem by keeping the cycle going, right? A lot of people I know are starting to quit drinking because they're noticing the depression that follows it, and just listening to your body is kind of the first step. It's like, maybe right. It's not, maybe the relief I get from those drinks isn't really worth what I have to go through the next day. And for me, I'm at the age where I just can't drink anymore. It just bothers my stomach so much. Mm-hmm. Or I'll wake up in the middle of the night, I'll just bolt awake. It's like, why can't I sleep? Well, that's alcohol. It just does that. So
right. It does inhibit sleep.
Owning all that, like,
right.
What am I doing as a woman? What am I doing with my life? What have I, where do I want to steer it? That's why I love what you do. It's about you owning the rest of your life, kind of directing where it's going to go, kind of making a plan and not just floating along, taking the path of least resistance. I like to always look ahead. Okay, am I 75 and I'm looking back on my life? Am I going to regret not spending more time at work? Am I going to regret not sleeping more? Am I going to regret not trying that thing I always wanted to try? Who would I want to spend the most time with? What do I want people to know about me or have accomplished? I try to look at that without a list of goals that I'll never fulfill. It's like, no, I think if I don't do this, I'm going to regret it. So I'm going to have to walk through the fear and I'm going to have to try something different, because in the end, I think this is probably going to be best for me.
Mm-hmm. A whole other episode, we could talk about alcohol and cannabis and the differences, with that, right? But I'm just going to say that it's safe to say that cannabis has been shown to be safer than alcohol. And I know we can have a whole discussion about that, but that is correct, right? Because nobody has ever died from using cannabis, but many have died from overdose on alcohol consumption, right?
And not to mention all the lives ruined by having alcoholics in your family. I mean, there's violence and neglect and other medical side effects. It's just, it's time for society to look at what alcohol has done. And I came from an alcoholic family, and I know what it's like for the kids to have an absent parent, a drunk parent, a depressed, confused, lost, you know, trying to numb the pain kind of parent. And I still see some people doing that, and I see the effect it has on their kids. I think it's my mission to help those kids through their parents. Because I was that kid. I was lost, alone. My mom was trying to cope. My dad was gone. And I'm learning to forgive my mom for being drunk, because now that I'm a single mom, I'm understanding a bit better how hard it was for her to survive on her own without my dad.
Right.
And I chose cannabis my whole life. And I feel like I'm a lot healthier and stronger because I chose that. I really do. And in time, we'll start to see that.
Okay. So where can listeners reach out to you with further questions? You have a website, you have an email address, right? Where can we direct listeners to reach out to you for any kind of questions, right? There's no dumb question. I know that about you. You work with people who know nothing about cannabis and have no idea where to start, right?
Yep.
So where can people find you and reach out to you with any questions? And you do live in Vancouver, but you can also talk with them over the phone, right, to answer their questions.
Exactly. Or okay. Skype. Great. You know, if you want to use Skype, you can show me your rash on your hand, or we can just see each other. It's nice when you can see each other and gets that sense of understanding each other. Yeah. I have a new website, which is tribeconsultants.ca.
Okay, I'll put that in the show notes. Yeah.
And you can find me on all forms of social media, LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook. And on Facebook, we have two groups. If you're in the US, it's Elementa. And in Canada, we have Elementa Woman Canada. If you join that, you'll know about all the events that are coming up in every city. And we can chat on these boards. You'll see related events come up there. So you can follow us on Elementa Woman Canada, and you'll see monthly in every city across Canada we've established so far where your meeting will be held, who will be the expert guest, and what the topic will be.
Mm-hmm. All right. Wonderful. All right. Well, thank you so much, Camille, for educating us on cannabis. And I mean, you have so much knowledge on cannabis that it's almost kind of hard to kind of talk about it at a basic level. But I think that we can have you back at some point to talk a little bit more specifically, like I said, about THC and CBD and, you know, how you can use both of those for what kinds of things. I think we can also talk about alcohol and cannabis and the differences there and what, you know, you would use cannabis for as opposed to alcohol for different things. And also just other issues that people might have relating to cannabis and just, I mean, there's so much to talk about. So
there is.
Thank you. I know there's so much to talk about. But thank you so much for coming on to the Me Time Midlife podcast. And we'll have you back again sometime to talk more about this.
Oh, you're so welcome. It was my pleasure.
If you find the Me Time Midlife podcast valuable, there are many ways you can support it and support yourself while doing it. You can review it on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you happen to listen to it. You can tell your friends about it or share it on social media. And if you want more me time in your life, consider becoming a member of the Me Time Midlife community. This is my online community of like-minded and like-hearted women in midlife who want to take charge of their life by cultivating their health, happiness, and purpose while building connections and friendships along the way. There are many benefits to joining, including monthly member-only Q&As with some of the experts you hear on the podcast. Plus, as a listener of the podcast, you get a special listener discount. Go to metimemidlifepodcast.com to learn more. Again, thank you for listening. And until next time, remember, You've been taking care of everyone else. It's your turn to take care of you.